So we're up to the fourth chapter of Ma'aseh Choshev, fourth Rimon, he calls it, fourth pomegranate, which is Shabbos clothes and lighting the candles of Shabbos. Okay, so when you come back from the field, we're supposed to go to the field when we go out to look for Shabbos, it goes okay. When you come back...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Oh, that's a great question. And this is the way I always explain it, with the Shem himself, the Ramchal, the beautiful Ramchal. The Ramchal has this very interesting question. He says, if you ever learn Zohar, you find that whatever parsha, whatever you're up to, someone's going to be either on the road or in the field or in the forest somehow, but they're on the road so much. That's the question. So the Ramchal is a beautiful thing. He says, we want to access Gan Eden. We want to get to Gan Eden Atach Zon, and that's the easier place to get there. So that's the place. It seems like because, like the Rebbe says, there's no habitat, no one's there, there's no people there. It's like it's open, and you can just access something higher. So they go out, and that's why they were able to bring the Torah down. It's harder when you're in a more inhabited place. So to get to the light of Shabbos on a simple level, we'll find. But when I connect to the light of Shabbos, that's an easier place to do it in. On a deeper level, where the I don't know if we started here. If we're not running, we'll see on a deeper level we're trying to delineate borders for the other side. So we go out and we say, till here, you're here. That's I think, if I remember right, that's on a deeper level. But on a simple level, that's the better place to be. So you want to take in Shabbos, you want to do it there.
Why so many people not involve Shabbos in Shul?
First of all, it's not so practical. Second of all, the idea, what am I doing with Kabbalah Shabbos? Kabbalah Shabbos is supposed to clarify my imagination. That's what Rav Nosson says. So you're dimming. Okay, so that's why the whole time we're talking about the greatness of Hashem, and we're get it together, focus. It's Hashem, the Shabbos Kodesh. So if that's what we're trying to do, so if you're Zohar to go to the field, it's easier, but not necessarily maybe you'll focus on the tefillah and get as much as you can that way. We're not on the level, that's the real answer. Unfortunately, we're not on the level. That's fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, you know, from my perspective, again, if a person goes to the field, here, how do I explain it? Sometimes I can do something in the Ari and I messed up. Okay, we'll learn something right now, even.
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah. So you come home, so you're wearing your talis, and go around the table. Say everything that you said in the field again. Like you say again, it's Kabbalah Shabbos, you connect. And then, he said, you say four Prakim Mishnayos. Four Osus Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's four Prakim Mishnayos. And then, so put on the four garments of Shabbos. Four white garments of Shabbos. That's the Bechina of the surrounding light, that's the garment. So again, you know, all these things we're talking about, it's a high level. It's not so simple to, you know, go around the table and draw down this, draw down that. We're not. I don't even know how to. I'm sorry, I have to remind you of something. But I don't even know how to.
Even if we do it, we're not necessarily there.
I wish we were there, but we know we're not there.
Does that excuse us from doing it?
Don't forget to get Isaac, please.
So this is after Marv?
Before Marv, he's talking about. But also after Marv, you go down the table again. But we're not on the level. We're not there at all. We're not even close to there.
So how many
close.
Hundreds of years ago is this?
400 years ago. 400-ish years, maybe a little, somewhat more, I guess. It was a while ago, at least that was time. But you have to know where you are. You have to know where you really are. I mean, what can I say? First of all, we want to have a munah, right? We all have a munah, but we know that the Rebbe has a test. He says there's an easy test to see if your munah is applied to munah, or you're on the way, but you're not there yet. You get angry. You get angry, and you lost your munah. You lost your dveikus. You lost it. Right, that's
In the example, there are certain times when anger is okay.
Yeah, it could be. If you don't lose your connection to Hashem. If you do, so you lose your connection to Hashem. Sometimes you have no choice. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sometimes anger can be good.
Like you have, for instance, if someone did something, Hashem and child did something that was anti-Hashem, right? Then you have to be angry.
Sometimes.
It's like you
sometimes. Sometimes that's the way. The question is, if that's going to help the child. Usually, most of us can tell somebody else, You know, I'm sorry, you know you want to be a good parent, but your anger is not going to help you. Better to explain it to the kid. Usually, not always. And it's hard to have the right balance. It's very easy to get angry at a child and not, you know, you just push them away, it's not helping. So again, it's hard, it's a big avoda. It's a big avoda. If we're honest, we know that we tend to get angry and that anger shows I'm not really there yet. So what, I'm going into the field, like you have no idea, what the Arizal says about where you're supposed to be. And he says, you can fall, then you do this, and you do that, and you bring this, and you bring that, and you see, like, he's talking a foreign language, like, I'm not even close. It's not even beginning, like, wear white garments, or like, I'm not there at all.
Is there, like, a chashash of reboot or
a very big chashash, a big chashash for gaiva. That's why someone asked Dr. Rebbe, he said, can I wear white? The Rebbe says, you wear four white garments. You're in cave of K. Can I wear white? He said, of course not. You're going to be so full of yourself. You can't wear white. Everyone's looking at you. That's your wrong level. He said, okay, can I wear a white yarmulke? Where I'm from, not everyone wears a white yarmulke. And I don't know, the sitting the more particular sitting desk. Is that also gaiva for me? Again, everyone is their own, you know, in our yeshiva. People do wear white yarmulkes. The yeshiva wears white yarmulke. But not everyone comes from such a place. So he's like, as from a regular city place, can I do that or not? He's like, when you're 30, you can. Because then I don't think it'll affect you. Before you're 30, don't. So it's like a whole, like there are different levels of what's over the top. Like how do you, and determining what's over the top. It's not so easy to work out. He's Bechal, a very great person. You have to know where. We're hoping God will help us. There's a show. Shem's going to help. We're going to yearn. We're going to get where we need to go. We're going to get there. But you have to know where we are. You know where we really are.
They also have different boundaries. I think boundaries plays a big role.
Definitely.
You know, the Gashmias that exists today is not... I mean, they have Gashmias, but it's like in two different planets.
You know? Oh, boy. Holy cow. Say that again. So did you serve Hashem today? I don't know. I'm not sure which ice cream I should pick. What? Which ice cream I should pick? Which ice cream should I get here? Which is this worth? It's more, it's less. A few seconds.
I mean, we're not even talking about internet, cell phones.
No, it was way before that. We're talking about the Stifler 30 years ago when his granddaughter came in and said, Zadie, is this kosher? She looked at it and said, yes, it's kosher. She walked out and he turned to the first thing and said, she doesn't even ask, should I eat it? Eating it, for sure I should eat. The question is only, is it kosher? You see, a person had a thought, you know, maybe I don't need this. That doesn't matter if I need it. I want it. Now, the only question is the kosher. Technical, there's a technical question here. Is it technicality whether I'll eat this or not? But then for sure I'm going to eat it, and I don't care if I need it. Like, the whole world changed. Like I said, which 10 million ice creams, any grocery, and who is having chocolate? You can't begin to. And if you're a diet, you know, also, for this one and that one, like this, not like that. It's a person totally. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We live in an unbelievable world. Yes, you're definitely right. The Gashmias makes everything we do is much more precious, but it also, like, forget it. Like, Makiv and all these Nyanim and Mechinas start to. You see where these people were holding, and we're just not even close. Like, no way. We're yearning. We're talking about it now. We want to get an Or of Shabbos. The Shabbos Kodesh, you access these lights, you put on your garments. It's an Or Makiv. It's an unbelievable thing. You erase all your affairs. I forgot who it was. I listened to this beautiful story from the. Was it again? Hey, I don't remember who it was. One of the Kamarna Rebbes, the Rebbes of the Kamarna. So he told his nephew, he said, you're erased. All your affairs are erased when you put on your garment, your Shabbos garment. So he went, he saw him crying during Slach Lama, during Minchon Shabbos, in Shabbos garments, and he's crying. He's obviously regretting whatever various he might have done because he's crying tshuva while his fingers are on his lapel. So after davening, you know, you told us when you put on your garments, you're free, clean slate, no various. You put on the old makiv of Shabbos Kodesh. You don't even, the old person doesn't exist. Why are you crying during slapel? Forgive us. What do you forgive us? You're clean slate, right? He said, well, what can I do if they pick me up to a different level and I have to chew for everything I ever did because I have to get into a new place? In a new place, it's much more careful. Wait a minute. Is that tshuva a little more? You have to do more. So I have to tshuva on everything every day. So I did tshuva. So yeah, I throw like 10 minutes on Safa. Like, you know, there's different bechins. That's what we're learning about. So wow, putting Shabbos garments, who knows what this is, who knows where we're going with this. But not that I'm on a level of, I don't care. I'm in the field, not that, like, I'm not. Yeah, we'll learn about it. You'll see. You're breaking to the side. Your mom is putting it down. You do all sorts of bechinas and yonim. And we're really not there. Like, we're not there.
So, why are Ashkenazim not going to wear a Talis Gadol?
To what?
To wear a Talis Gadol.
Talis Gadol? That's a totally different question. Because it's not as bechina,
bechla. Because
what? It's not as bechina. There are different bechinas. Yeah. The way it comes out, the Bnei Yisrael explains that. That the way it comes out is that everyone has a little makif, and that's the Talis Katan. But the bechin, the big makif, the grosa makif, is the bechin of a wife. So it doesn't mean you're not supposed to be wearing. It's like, it doesn't work Kabbalah wise, it doesn't really work so well.
So why does Shvarim not do
that? They have their own mahalach of what to do. I think it's because of the mechaber. I'm not sure that Ari is clear about whether you do or you don't. The mechaber.
Germans do.
I mean, Mr. Brewer says that's for a technical reason, though. He says they do because they're afraid. They're afraid their little talis, the tzitzis won't be kosher. You used to get tzitzis that were junk and very small. They weren't, who knows how it would have made.
Well, not only that, but the door jams and the jams, they cut out the tzitzis. that's a big problem that
it
I
can
have.
Happen, yes, it can happen.
Constantly in the States.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people tuck the tzitzis in just to avoid that. Depends how big they are, and yeah, you do your best. But in terms of, the Mishnah Berurah says they used to get the talis cut and were like not good. They weren't great quality talis gadol. They were not great. So if they're not great, so better to wear a talis gadol. That way at least you're wearing at least one garment that's the real, at least a little bit of tzitzis, that are real tzitzis. That's the Mishnah Berurah says.
But that's a big problem, especially in the States, where you have these cotton tzitzis that are, how should I put it, what's the word for schlock?
of inferior quality, perhaps you mean? I don't know. What can I tell you?
No, I made this mistake. I went to a Jewish bookstore that had everything, and it was in L.A., and I didn't know any better.
Oh,
yeah, they have holes all over them. So they're holes.
There's a very simple solution for the Gadol. Get married.
Well,
when you live in America,
When
you live in America, and probably when you live in Israel, it's important to find a rabbi that you can trust and you can ask every question that you have. Without that,
that's very hard. Yep. I knew someone in Israel also. This guy bought tefillin from someone at a big, very high price in the neighborhood, not so far. And he showed it to someone a year or two later, went to check in, like, this is like, it's not invalid, but it's just one step above. Really inferior writing, everything inferior. Inferior, how much you pay for this? What? How could you pay that much? See, what's the guy say? How'd you take that much for this? This is inferior. He's like, yeah, so, okay, yeah, it's true, it's whatever, it's kosher, like, yeah, so, that was my price. Well, like, didn't even care, nothing, not a word. Forget about money back, that's for sure not. But he didn't even care. Too bad, tough. You didn't know better, tough. Unbelievable, that's what you're doing. You have to know to avoid these people, because it can be very difficult.
Well, I went to a major bookstore, bought tefillin, came back 2 years later, and I hadn't checked out somewhere else. They were not square. He didn't even have to open them up.
They're round?
It's supposed to be very square. It's supposed to be a blue box. It's Halachah
Sinai. Yeah.
That they have to be squared. A little bit round necessarily, but they might not have been cornered. The corners might have been really not good.
How far they
love
to separate? From the bottom?
They shouldn't. I don't remember. If you want to use the bra, look. They shouldn't be separated, I don't think. I think it's supposed to be on.
It's supposed to be so tight and then basically glued together.
Not kosher, you know.
What would separate them would be the humidity.
Okay. So We're up to... Okay, so when you put on your Shabbos garments, you should have in mind the name Zahari Kel.
Should we do that in the mikveh?
Hmm?
Can we do that then? What is this? This is chasidus?
This is putting it on. No, this is the recess. Putting on the garments. Putting on the garments. Yeah. Putting on the garment, we have in mind this name. So that's the kabbal. So the chasidus, he says himself. He says, this represents whatever this is, something from the Olam HaMalbush, whatever, don't ask me what that means, I do not know, world of the garment. Anyway, there's a bechina of a garment, whatever that means. All the worlds are a garment for Hashem, but there's something called the garment, for whatever reason, and we're sort of trying to grab hold a little of it. And if you do it, see, this is why we're learning this. He says, having this in mind helps very much to draw holiness on a person. That's what you hear. It's really stars. I got everything, of course. Hashem. But if you'd asked me, I would have told you the name. If you want, you can have one. Yeah. But I forgot this little extra.
You mean sticky?
Zahari Kel. No, I'm just going to do that. I don't think it's. Maybe I don't even have one. I have a couple left. Another one. Yes, thank you for the money. So that's what we want to do, Shah. And that's again the same idea. A person can become something totally, totally different. That's also why you're not supposed to wear garments that I wore during the week. I should not wear on Shabbos. Under no circumstances. I shouldn't wear the garment on Shabbos. Shabbos is its own special garments. Oh, yeah. Now, Spider is different. You're supposed to have four basic garments. Those who go around in the Yishalmi garb know that they do wear actually four garments. The chayr of the shlaimel.
What is the shalmi garb?
Just the shalmi garb is you have a shlaimel, you have the round jibay and the gold coat, and then people have a wide belt. That's the four garments that people wear special shalmels. Like wear special pants for shalmels, whatever it may be. He says the sweater there. He says it's okay. Sweater doesn't matter. Those four. That's the beginning of the. Those four is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Four special garments a person should wear if he can. That's the idea.
Can you explain each piece of that?
Yud-Kei Vav-Kei.
No, each piece like has its own.
It's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei.
Like
the same abaya.
Like the belt. What's the symbolism of the belt?
It's garment.
Yeah, I guess the separation is between below and above.
He's going to explain that.
He doesn't explain that. I'm just saying that we're trying, those who wear that, they wear it in order to reflect what he's saying here. He says, high, upper, lower, belt, and shirt. That's what he says. I think they have Bina. This axis is Bina. He says, no, this is another big one. This I did remember though, actually. He said, no, that every color. Maybe we'll do this. I don't know. If I remember, I probably won't remember, but if I remember, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about colors. But every color has its own source in the spheres to represent some other strength, some other koach of a person. And the colors of one's garments on Shabbos, that is what he's going to be robed in the next world. That's what he said. So it's not, there is a reason behind the. This I do remember, actually, of course, Hashem.
There's a difference between, some people wear brown, some people wear gold.
He says the difference, yeah. He says
blue.
That's what he says.
So what's his outer garment? Yeah, the inner garment is the gold?
No, again, I don't know. They would wear white.
But that's his spot.
In Yerushalayim, they'd wear, one doesn't wear white. One on the levels wear white, but there are different levels of what to wear. I mean, black, if you're Zohar, black represents Kesek, because it's totally opaque, you don't see anything. Some of those wear black, that's one of the reasons why. Also, that they're wearing Golas, and also, really, there's a deep, deep what Shabbos is about. But there are many, many different Mahalchim, what and when.
What is white represent?
Kesek? Kesek? But there are different malachim. It's in the Ramak in Parashimonim. It's a whole section on what is this color, what is that color, what is that color.
Yerushalayim and Hanavi is gold on the inner garment, and the outer garment is what color?
It's a brown right. one. I mean, they have them. They're around. Yeah. Those are where. That's why they do it.
The belt is white.
The belt is white with blue. I don't know what their colors, what were they trying to do with those colors? I'm not sure. I seem to recall that there was a whole historical reason why they're going with that garment. No. The reason why they went that garment, it could be it does, but the reason why they, the Ashkenazim, that might be the Sephardim, which they originally, which you still can see Tehmanim and other people wearing this exact type of garment, the same gold with pinstripes, as the Yerushalmi garment. So again, Rabbi Yehuda, I think I told the story, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, he built a shul, the Yehuda Chassid shul, the Churva, right? And then he passed away suddenly. So the Ashkenazim had to run away, that he had debts, he was going to pay and raise in the Chutzaritz, raise out of Israel, and he wasn't alive anymore, they couldn't get the money together. So the only way they can come into the Yerushalayim was to act like the Sephardim and dress like Sephardim. And the Sephardim covered for them a lot. So when they finally got rid of the decree, his son, his successor maybe, said, okay, what's the point? I'm not going to pay anyway. May as well have them come. They're the good citizens. It's not their fault. It was a mistake, whatever. And so when they came in, so they, to show their appreciation, they decided on Shabbos we're going to wear this type of garment. I don't think there was anything more to it. And it could be that the brown was just in order to be, because it's more, it's people usually more somber, so it's more somber covering. And then inside is a little, could be that's part of why. I don't know. I don't know more on that.
The garment itself made from different parts, different cuts.
It is made from different parts. Yeah, the arm represents the tefillin. Different bechinas of what it is. But again, I don't really have much information about it. They're trying to access whatever they were trying to access.
No, what about the strimal? The strimal. You were mentioning the strimal.
The strimal. Okay, a strimal is actually a distinctly Jewish garment. What happened was, very often non-Jewish nobility or priesthood or together wanted to embarrass the Jewish people, especially distinguished Jews, important Jews. So they came up with a scheme. They said, you know, we'll have every Jew, he has 30 days, and then he's not going to wear any more of the, he used to wear this, like the London Guard, he has to wear a hat made out of a tail. You know, like a Daniel Boone, the type of hat that was at a tail is more like Daniel Boone, kind of, you know, this coon, you know, the, like a hunting looking cat. It's not the most distinguished cat. So that the Jews would be a laughing stock, that was ideal. So they came up with this regal looking garment that they made out of a whole bunch of tails. Eventually they just got rid of the decree, it was such an embarrassment, it didn't get anywhere. What's the point in making even a nicer garment or just as nice a garment at a tail? What was the purpose? So it didn't help, it didn't serve the purpose. But that's part of it. It happens to be a distinctly Jewish garment to make it that way.
Is it Russia or Poland?
I think it was in Poland. Galicia, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was. Maybe Hungary. I don't know.
Recently,
the last 100 years. Yeah, last 100 years. During the Russian times, only very important people wore garments. Nothing. They bought him a strimal. He's like, I have to wear it, I guess. The guy got it from me. But when it was stolen, he left it outside the bathroom, it was stolen. He said, oh, thank you, Hashem. I can go to the regular hat again. I'm so happy.
Other people wear turbans. The other people wear turbans?
They wore more regular hats. You know, maybe casquettes or something simple.
What's a regular hat?
A lot of people wore a cap. So I went to Rabbi Yasha, and he had a very strange looking hat, like a furry hat, strange hat. He said, can I wear this hat? Is it not distinguished enough? He said, distinguished? He said, when I was a little boy, we saw the Chofetz Chaim. You should have seen his hat. Boy, he didn't look so distinguished, his hat. That wasn't the most, it was a very simple hat. He's like, but if you do something which nobody else does, it's a little strange, so that's not so good. Because you don't want people noticing you in a pejorative way. You don't want people saying, what's with him? He goes with a strange hat. So you don't want to do that. That's why I told a friend of mine, Spot, it doesn't really make, nobody's noticing it. It's fine. It could be, it's fine. I get it. I can understand the person saying, it's fine. Elsewhere, maybe not. It depends. That's the person. Depends where.
So I've got to stop wearing my Dr. Seuss.
Have to.
Well, how did it happen? How did it become that everybody's wearing a nice hat now and struggling? It's like the way I grew up, like only people who had beards and hairs were above. Mm-hmm. There was a sign of the rock.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Things have changed. And maybe for the better. People have aspirations, but not since the way you dress is what you aspire to be. So he wants to be good. He wants to be holy. That's what nothing says. That's great. You want. That's excellent.
I came from the same place you did.
Well, I was somewhere else before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I grew up in Indianapolis.
What?
Indianapolis.
Oh, really? Because we had normal people that were strongholds. They weren't rabbis. Just guys that were Hasidic.
Sure. It's very, how do I say it? It's a shmir, it's a gedder. It's something which protects the person if he connects to it at all. Sometimes it's just a mask. Then it'll come off eventually. Or not, worse, it doesn't help.
I know people that have taken off their bekvashah, their strimal, their beard, their bias. It went up real quick and it came off.
Some of the bad for sure, but even sometimes a person takes it off. It can be, if this is where he found himself. I know somebody he was a breastfeeder. His son was in brisk. He was learning really strong. And he came home one day and he just got rid of everything.
Really?
And he's like, I want to be a brisker. I don't want to be a breastfeeder or a chassid. I want to be this. So his father, the mother said, wait for your father at home. The father came home. And he sat down with him. He said, you mean L'shem Shammai? Like, what are your thoughts? Really, that's your direction? You want to be brisk? Where are you going? He said, yeah, I want to be like my teachers. He said, so then that's great. I'm behind you. And he married a very important family. He was a great kid. He's like, I'm great. If you don't see Shammai, I don't care. Fine. That's what you're going to eat. Great. Let's see this mahalo.
What I felt bad about, this guy had six sons.
Oh.
And everybody changed with the father. And I felt, I just felt bad. Because when you bring kids up in a certain way, to believe a certain way, then all of a sudden, it just changes.
Yep.
And it's like, I'm trying to imagine what their minds are going through. How do you wrap your mind around that?
It's hard. Change that past, and then far, and maybe it never was.
Well, the kids were raised that way and in that direction. It's not a matter of him, it's a matter of the children as well.
Yep, he's not thinking too much about it probably, although maybe he is, maybe that's what he needs. It's hard to know.
Well, I have a story which I'm not going to put on tape.
Okay. Oops, okay.
what I feel bad about is that I know this guy, and I know his rabbi. I know that his rabbi, he didn't do this independently. I mean, he came to the rabbi and probably whatever he said. And then he made the decision. Not with the rabbi didn't say, go ahead and do that, but he needed to talk to somebody. So I know this rabbi is a sensitive guy.
Wow.
And I'm sure that it was painful for the father and for the rabbi. I think it was an issue of shalom bias.
Maybe.
And because the wife changed her name from a Hebrew name to an English name. So.
Really?
That says something right away. Usually,
Now,
if you're talking about shalom bias, Rabbi Posada always talks about arrogance. It's the arrogance of the male. Mm-hmm. The wife is a reflection. She's your mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe as her mirror, she didn't have or didn't want a firm husband or firm family. She was a reflection. Or he didn't want it. Trying to figure out how that mirror thing works.
The mirror thing is put it like this. There are a lot of people, and a lot of zivugim, a lot of matches, and there's a whole picture of what's really going on. if I take my relationship with my wife, and it can be done with husband too, and I say this is from Hashem, so that draws something very, very special, and usually serves to fix everything I need to fix. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to do something and see something. But it's not always easy to really feel that and do that. Sometimes a person just does it because it's the easy way out. Oh, great, I'm not that kind of guy. I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to take responsibility. It's her problem. It's all reflection. It's all this. He's not doing any inner work. It's not going to work so well. That's the problem. Or sometimes it doesn't work so well. Not always. Sometimes it'll work well. Sometimes it won't. Depends. Depends who she is. Depends on how. What are you doing with this? What's he doing with this? It's a construct. It's a better word. It's a pathway to bringing something. So that's really the source of every husband and wife relationship anyway, is she's a Shechina. But can, you know, does that mean that, like the Chofetz Chaim son, he went to Chofetz Chaim, you know, very often we know divorce is very tragic and very often it can be stopped. He's less selfish, she's less selfish, one or the other or both, and they work it out. She said, you know, these divorces, I'm telling you, usually less is a lechu, you have to divorce, you can get out of this. I don't know if B'chalal people, you know, they're happy with such a thing. So the Chofetz Chaim said, the reason why there is voluntary divorce is because it must be that sometimes you need divorce. So you can say whatever you want to say, but it's very clear that sometimes they're just not really compatible. There is such a thing. Very often it's not the case. Very, very often. Very often it's just selfishness, or the person doesn't want to suffer, doesn't want to wait. It can be hard, but very often there is such a thing. The Rashi is very clear about it. It's like sometimes the second zivug, that's the real deal. The first one was tikkun. And they're not compatible. They're totally not. How did they get married? The person looks and says, what happened? What? Who thought this was a good idea? This is crazy. This is a crazy idea. I never could suggest this. She's married. She's from for 10 months and he's from for 8 years. He's very firm. Who put them together? I don't understand. Who told them? No, everyone told her, listen, we don't really date. This young, so she went to the one place where they would let her date, even though they weren't happy about it. And everyone told him, listen, she's really experienced. You think it's for you? He put chumras on her. Well, what's going on over here? It sounds totally incompatible. So there is such a thing. They're just not compatible. So if he was more patient, maybe it could have worked. But it wasn't quite enough. It was hard. It's hard. She's just not there. But she's eating worms. Listen, my friend, I'm sorry. She's not holding by right now. You can do your best to explain it to her in a way that's going to help her. But you can't... Or she can't eat broccoli. I don't know what. Like, it's just not going to help. It's not going to do anything. She's going to think you're crazy. She can show her maybe. Or there might be ways of doing it, but it has to be done in a way that's going to be very, very sensitive. And he wasn't holding by it. But nobody would have thought in a million years, like, what? Why did you do this? He's like, I don't know why I did this. So, there is a thing where he can try and work on Shechina. He just is not there. It's just too much work. Too much. It's just so much. He's just not holding there. There is such a thing. But again, sometimes surprising matches go anyway because the husband just totally nullifies himself to Hashem and he brings down what he needs to bring down. But the purpose of again, this is my perspective, maybe you would say differently, but the purpose is to try to bring down something. When you bring that down, everything. I mean, I know a case where the husband and the wife were, I mean, she was, you know, he did tshuva on fire and she was like, I don't want to do a mikvah, I don't want to keep Shabbos, I don't want to do any of this. It's not me, I don't know. I'm married, I'm not religious, I never was religious. You want to eat kosher? Okay. You want to keep Shabbos? Okay. I have to do a mikvah, I don't know why I have to do that. It seems annoying. I have to do this. I mean, forget about sneezing and covering your hair, forget. That's not even thought about for a second. But like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. It just doesn't talk to me. I don't know, you know, like maybe the we will learn a little bit, maybe. Like, she just wasn't into it. So he went to Rudnevsky and he said, what do I do? She's totally not into it. She's so upset. So he said the same thing, just in his nusach. He said, if you work a Zamra and you see all her good points and just give her space, it's all going to work out. And that's what he did.
Wow.
That's what he did.
Rav
Rudnevsky. And that's what he did. And he worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And worked and worked. And he's working himself. So he's doing his best with whatever he has. Try to explain to him, maybe, yes, can we make further? Do this if you can. Okay, whatever. can, whatever, went through a sensitive good way, like with a lot of patience and a lot of love. And slowly the Shabbos, she went to the first Shabbos, she didn't Mahal Shabbos this way or that way. And over a period of time, maybe a year and a half, and she started getting through it. And everything's fine. But she had to just lay off, give her space to find her own self. You can't push. So that's again the same basic idea. He didn't say it that way, so he didn't say it this way, he said it another way. But it's the same idea. When you can bring down the Lashkach and Hashem and help somebody, your souls are connected to help things move along. That's the idea. But is every man holding by the inner work he needs to do to bring this into his household? No. No way. Definitely not. I know of a person where his wife, she was very abused. She was younger. I don't think physically. Nothing physical. Maybe her parents hit her, maybe. I'm not sure. She was yelled at, though, for sure, a lot. And he's a very laid back kind of guy. And she tends to be abusive, like she'd learned. And he tried to work the ki'ilu, work the Rabbi says in the book, but he didn't do any big inner work. He just worked on shutting up. He wasn't like she's a good pastor. He wasn't picking things up in that way at all. And she was just abusing his kids. And after a year, he's looking, he says, you know, this is like not good. It's not working. I gotta stop this. It's not for me. And yet, he's not doing tremendous. He needed to do tremendous inner work. He needed to be working on Samra. He needed to be explaining to her privately, you know, we have to use positive language, explain in a way that's gonna talk and not gonna be threatening. You're not gonna be trying to figure things out. And he was not holding there. I mean, I'm not blaming him. I was working. I was doing whatever he was doing. I'm not saying. It was only on him. But, like, doesn't always, in a lot of cases, we just, this does not work for us. And unfortunately, usually, the reason why is he was not holding by doing the intense avoda that he needed to do in order to make it work. But it's not necessarily a good suggestion to say, well, just do this. But very often, what's really getting in the way is just to, he's just being arrogant, not letting her be herself or find herself. That for sure, that's enough just to like lay off and just be mechabed, pick her up that way. That's good enough. But you have to know when, who, and for what. Because sometimes he needs to be putting in many hours of his focus and focus of changing himself. It's not enough for her. That's not enough. She needs input. No input, not going to be good. Good, positive, but that's what she needs. She's a broken vessel right now. So then you have to give her that. If you don't give her that, she's going to break other things too. Or you have to be able to find a way that's going to put things together. That's the kids.
In your example of 400 years ago, how many wrestlers were there back then? Just a handful?
Okay. There were no breastivers then, because it was before Rabbi Nachman.
Oh, right.
It was before Rabbi Nachman. Right. There were no breastivers. I mean, there were people who were holding in very high places. There were people who were very great. I mean, it's hard for us to really have even a concept of who these people were. Like you were saying, I mean, it's not only material. Then it was like, you killed yourself to grow things. You killed yourself. Anything you needed to do, you killed yourself. You in the Gemara, you find that a person, if you give him food and he works all day for you, he's not a slave. It's just that's the price: 12 hours work, food for you, maybe your family. That's it. Nothing more. Not clothing. Not nothing. Zero work all day just for food. That's what people were holding. That was the way it was. So people were not. We don't begin to get how tough they were and how strong and how, you know, when someone found a way to connect to Hashem while being involved in the physical, and to such an extent, I mean, we don't begin to grasp who this person, like, who is this person, where is he, where did he get to, we don't get it, we don't understand it. Like, again, where we're like, well, you know, I work 10 minutes, now what ice cream do I eat? Give me energy, you know, it's like, what brand of this, what brand of that, what l'chaim did it take, what, take it easy, you don't need anything, just do something. It's a big fight. Gigantic fight. Not an easy one.
In major markets here, you have more variety than you do in LA.
It's amazing. My wife is just in America. Yeah, she saw that also. Like, anything you can get there, you can get here pretty much.
What is it? More variety here than LA?
Yeah.
There's a lot of variety here. Really? It's all from China. What's the difference? they can't to here. I guess that's what she said. I don't see the big. I like a few stores. I can order on the net. There's like no reason it's shopping. It's like, it's no better.
Brand of ketchup, like,
yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's like, it's no better. You have the same stuff here and there. Like, some of it's cheaper here, cheaper there. Same difference.
For ketchup, you have the Americans. You have the British. You have the Israeli.
Yep.
You know, for LA, really? You're lucky if you get you know, no Israeli, no British, no nothing. You know, maybe if you go to Santa Monica, you may find one little tiny store with some British items in it.
Yep.
Ah, I see. Like, even from all the stores together.
Yep.
Not just really one store.
I mean, like, whereas you go down to, like, Co-op Shop or Mega, you have aisles upon aisles of rice and ketchup and what
have
you.
Yeah, it's unbelievable here. It's unbelievable.
Where's Co-op Shop?
It's Kenny Hadar. In Talpio and Pierre Koenig.
Yeah.
Like, there are like a dozen stores around that area. You have Rami Levy, you have Super Deal, you have, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, people are just used to that. Like, you know, like, their kids are going to grow up here and they'll get used to the local brands. And like, what do you need to say? You know, I am skeptical.
I bring home ketchup, and my daughters get really excited when they see harif.
Yeah.
So they're all jumping up and down, you know, saying thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. So now,
would you run from ketchup to?
Okay, is this a new one?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if we want to finish the garments, or we'll just maybe just pack it to join, maybe. And the levels. Yeah, I guess we'll do pack it to join.